As we have discussed in the this morning, Krishna comes to us in this world in his Acharya-Vigraha form, and this form is absolutely the same as Krishna. When coming here, a devotee stopped me and said, "I mean, is the deity who has a body out of marble, out of sand, out of earth, out of stone, out of wood, and finally out of the mind? One can meditate, and whatever one sees in the mind is a deity. Is that actually absolutely in all regards the same as Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna in the spiritual world? There must be some differences, no?" And my answer to this question was, it depends on your bhava, that is your inner mood. In the original Mata Danmohan temple, there was an incident that is told generations after generations after generations. And I want to tell you this incident which shows how the deity is absolutely the same as Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And then I would like to tell you in my own experience, in my own relationship to our Radha Madan Mohan, how I have seen them acting like Krishna. So, every day, a very poor widow who lived on the other side of the river, I believe it is the Yamuna, came with a little thing, a little container, to Radha Madan Mohan in Karoli. That's a village near Jaipur, where the original Madan Mohan deities are. And she brought her milk as a service to Madan Mohan. Every day she came with her little milk container like this, and every day she delivered it to the pujaris, and every day her milk was served to the deities, until one morning something happened. The pujari poured the milk into the, which the lady had brought, into the pot to boil it, but when he was pouring the milk from the lady into a pot, there was a fish inside. Oh, my God! And immediately the pujari understood, this lady is so poor, whenever she crossed the river, she must have a normal days put a cloth over it and then diluted the milk a little bit with water. But on this particular day, she must have been in a hurry, and somehow she fetched the water and there was a fish. So every day we have been serving in this temple diluted milk to the deity. You must know in India there's a thing about watering the milk. The milk is then considered to be not any longer real milk, and it is said if you drink such milk then you develop lepra. I don't know if this is true medicinally, but that's at least the belief. So the pujari thought, every day this nonsense lady has been boiling the offering to the Lord. And he became very angry. He took the milk back into the pot. He threw it into the face of the lady and said, "Come, never back. Don't show your milk face again to the Lord. Don't come to this temple any longer. You have cheated on the milk." So from that day on, the lady's life took a different turn. She was totally disappointed, and dead. She felt like dead. She lay in her hut. She never rose again, and she was prepared to die. Her cow was sometimes screaming because the cow was not milked any longer. So that one year, after I think 3 days, when she was lying fasting, she heard a knock at the door. She said, "I'm not here, I'm not here." But a sweet voice answered, "But I'm here. Please let me in." So she opened the door to see who it was. And it was a beautiful boy, a Brahmin boy. He looked very dark, complexioned. And he said, "I'm so hungry, Ma. Do you have some milk?" And she said, "No, no. This is the house of death. There's nothing for you here." "No, something. Maybe some sour milk. Some milk which you left in the pot and which became sour. There's also a preparation. I'm so hungry." So she somehow found some sour milk, and as the Brahmin boy ate it, it turned evening and then night. And the Brahmin boy said, "My dear Ma, I cannot go home now, it is so late. Can I sleep in your hut?" She said, but you know, that's not done in our culture. I'm a widowed lady and you are a young and handsome man. What will people say?" The boy said, don't worry. "No, you're anyways dead, isn't it?" So she gave the boy or the young man some place to sleep. And as he was lying down, it turned midnight, and the boy said, "Ma, it's so cold in your hut. Do you have a blanket, please?" And she said, "You can have my blanket," and gave her blanket to that unusual visitor. In the morning when she woke up, the boy was gone, and her blanket was also gone. That morning, the pujari came into the deity room, and he saw Madan Mohan with a dirty quilt blanket on his body. And he thought, what is this? From where is this blanket coming? Now the lady in the hut looked again to the place where this boy had slept, and she found a beautiful yellow scarf. A real beautiful, luxurious, gentlemanly, wonderful scarf. Scarves and shawls and wie so ein Schatter, ne? And she thought, but that's the Schatter of Madan Mohan. Let me bring that Schatter to the temple. So she went to the temple, knocked at the door, and said, "Somehow I found this. It belongs to Madan Mohan." The priest saw the Schatter. Then I remembered the deity that morning, and he said, "Oh no, you lady, you had somehow sneaked into the temple, you had given your dirty blanket to Madan Mohan, you had taken his yellow shudder, and now you come back due to some strange idea in your head to exchange his chadar with your blanket. Are you in your right mind? Go, I said, go. Do never come back to this temple. So the lady cried even more. She went back in her house, and now she was really ready to die. But in the evening, Madan Mohan appeared to the pujari and said, it was me who went to that lady, because you had forbidden the lady to bring milk. I came to drink my milk from this lady's house. It was me who took her chadar, and me who arranged that my chadar is at her place, just to show you fools that I can be worshipped only through devotion. From now on, allow the lady to come every evening and bring her bhava milk, her devotional milk to offering. I need that in order to stay alive. This is an example which shows you how Krishna revealed himself in according to the time and the circumstances. Madan Mohan here, Radha Madan Mohan, something happened which I want to share with you. Once there was a quarrel in our pujari department. This quarrel became so fierce that our pujari department threatened to fall in two halves. One half took one side of the argument, the second half another. The quarrel was about this. When we offer something to Madan Mohan, what is more important? To be punctual, really on time, or to cook nicely, and if it takes a little longer before it's ready, then this is also all right. So there was the punctuality fraction, and on the other side, the nice preparation fraction. And they were, you know, we are in Kali Yuga, any little thing which is there is a reason to fight. So they were fighting. And then the noon offering came. Not heavy fighting, but arguing is perhaps the way. So the pujari, the lady pujari, she's a wonderful devotee and lives outside of Germany. She came with the offering plate. She had cooked a noon offering with very nice preparation. She belonged to the nice preparation fraction. She came, and as she wanted to enter the altar, a representative of the punctuality fraction was standing there and saying, no entry, keep your offering, you're 5.5 minutes too late. So the lady was heartbroken. She had prepared really nice preparations, nicely spiced sabjis, nice chutneys, chapatis, paratha, a mango, sandesh, everything. Don't allow your water to come in the, because it's for Krishna. So it was all ready. Now she was denied to give her offering to the Lord. So she looked, am I really 5 minutes too late? She looked at her wristwatch. It showed 12 o'clock. My God, my wristwatch is also 12 o'clock now. It showed 12 o'clock. No, 5.5 minutes too late. So the lady from the punctuality fraction went into the kitchen and looked at the absolutely correct X-ray directed, modern clock, 12 o'clock. We looked in all the wristwatches in this building. Everything was 12 o'clock. Although by Google time it was 12:05 and by now 12:06 to 12:07. Madame Mohan had stopped the time and had directed the wristwatch in order to make his point. I am more pleased by a devotional offering than an offering that is only keeping the standards of deity worship. Of course, this doesn't mean 12:30 or 12:20 or 12:15 or 12:10, but a little. If it is done not in a careless fashion, but in a mode of devotion and service, then it's good. This is also how I understand Prabhupada's mood in coming to the West. There was another situation. See, the deities, when you stand before them, they are facing the audience, you. When you come before the deities, they are looking at you. So one pujari thought, no, let Madan Mohan look at his best devotee, Radharani. So he moved the deity a little bit like this, to look at Radharani. Then he opened the temple, the curtain, and he saw Madan Mohan had gone back to his place. So she thought, maybe I was a little tired, or maybe in the past I had taken some alcohol in the past before coming to Krishna consciousness, and it became released, and some intoxication from 20 years back has returned. So the next time she also again put Madan Mohan facing Radharani and not the audience, and again Madan Mohan had moved back. Then she tried it a third time, just to be sure that this is a miracle. And she again saw Madan Mohan going back in the place, in his place of facing the devotees. If you look at Madan Mohan, he looks a little bit above your head when you stand before him. He looks at your future self, which has grown a little bit from the present state. I think there are many such miracles, but I want to conclude. How do we see the deities? It is with eyes of love, then you can see. I had to learn this lesson in a difficult way. I was invited to start the Kirtan Mela in Mayapur, or to lead the Kirtan Mela. Maybe it had started before. And there was one year where we all, when we did Kirtan, we saw tears were coming out of Gauranga's eyes and of Nityananda's eyes, Advaitacharya. All the deities were crying. And devotees started to fly in from all parts of the world to see the crying miracle of the deities. The deities were crying when they heard the kirtan. There was water running. So what can I do? I grew up with a magazine called Das Bild der Wissenschaft, a science magazine. I thought, well, let me just make a test. So I asked the pujaris if I could please come in the pujari room. And I went into the pujari room and I looked from the back and I saw water like strains of tears coming down the back. Okay, this means the water which is running down is condensed water. There were so many of us sweating in the Mayapur temple, a lot of humidity in the air, and the water was running down here on the forehead, and it looked like tears, but it was also running down in the back. So no one has eyes, no one cries in the back. So I was then asked to make a public statement, and I wanted to say, my dear devotees, miracles are fine with me, but this is not a miracle. This is a natural phenomena. It's condensed water. Then I went to one of the pujaris, I forgot whom, and I asked him, what do you think about this? I don't think this is a miracle. This is not supernatural. This is condensed water. I have gone on the altar and I've seen the same water running down the back. And I don't think it's good if our ISKCON devotees believe in, I mean, it looks ridiculous to the world. And then not so many people waste their money to come flying here. The pujari leaned back and said, Satchidananda Swami, the deities always cry when there is kirtan. Look in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The deities are singing, when the devotees sing, and then Lord Chaitanya is in ecstasy and he perspires and cries. So those who say the deities are crying are right, and those who say it's condensed water, they are also right. But you have to choose your side. On what side are you? Are you on the side of the those who think of Baba, of devotional, how do we say in our movement, the devotional mood? Then you can see one thing, and when you are not in a devotional mood, when you're in the scientific mood, you see another thing. Both are right, but what is your viewpoint? So then I made my public announcement. I said, my dear devotees, Lord Chaitanya in the kirtan is always dancing and crying. And when many people come together, objects have condensed water. Both. So when you approach the deities, you have to look through the eyes of devotion. That is the point. Without devotion, you cannot see the deities. We are very lucky that Radha Madan Mohan are with us. I'm personally very grateful. I lived here for perhaps more than 10 years, and now I don't know. I'm not so good in remembering numbers. But I can say that for me, Radha Madan Mohan are my deities. When they came to Germany, I think that we will hear the story how they came from others. I was there in the beginning, and I remember they had a pujari, wonderful devotee, Astarada Prabhu, who every evening prepared the deities to go to bed, and you know, they get the night pyjama for the night rest, and he had invited me every evening to come and read for them from the Nectar of Devotion. So every day for a few years I was in the deity room when they went to bed and read the Nectar of Devotion. It was just so sweet, so intimate, such a wonderful moment. And I can only encourage you, make your relationship with Radha Madan Mohan, do a little service, and you will see how much they respond. They are, as far as we are concerned, the most wonderful deities on the planet Earth. Other worshippers will say their deities are the most wonderful, and they are also right, because you can only understand Krishna through service and through love, and that you will direct to your local deity. Thank you very much. I know we have a lot of others to contribute. I will end here and request you to repeat after me. Jayatam Surato Angor.
Jayatam Surato Angor.
Mama Manda Mategati. Matsarvasva Padambojo. Shishirada Madana Mohano.
Shishirada
Madana Mohana Ki.